and welcome to Hollywood Soup. This is Dizzy D, and thank you for tuning in to Penguin Radio to hear all about entertainment news, celebrity gossip, new movie releases, and popular music. I have a lot of things in store for you today, including my segments called Movie Monday, Toons Talk, The Dirty Deets, and I also have a special surprise at the end of today's show in honor of my very last show of the semester. So I hope you are ready, because I will now jump into my first segment, Movie Monday. So on Saturday night, I saw the film Dumb and Dumber 2. It was directed and written by Bobby Fornelli and Peter Fornelli. So Fornelli, that's how you pronounce it. Dumb and Dumber 2 is a comedy and is a sequel of the 1994 film Dumb and Dumber. So Dumb and Dumber 2 stars Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, and the plot of the film is based 20 years after the first movie, and Harry Dunn is one of the main characters, and he is played by Jeff Daniels, and he has been going to this mental hospital every week to visit his best friend Lloyd Christmas, who is played by Jim Carrey. And in the beginning of the movie, we see Harry. He's visiting Lloyd, and he says that he can't come back to visit him anymore because of this medical condition that he's been suffering from. And Harry tells him that this, and then Lloyd begins to mutter something, and Harry goes in, he leans a little closer because he's a little confused because he hasn't heard him speak at all, and then Lloyd shouts out, "Gotcha!" And then Lloyd, you know, confirms that he spent the last 2 decades in this mental hospital as a joke, and Harry thinks it's awesome. So Harry brings Lloyd back to their old apartment, and Billy is this blind neighbor boy. He's sitting outside of their apartment, and he's surrounded by all these pet birds, and they kind of not make fun of him, but they kind of mess with his birds. But while they get into the apartment, Harry introduces Lloyd to his pet cat Butthole. And also in his apartment, he meets Harry's new roommate, Ice Pick. And he's a guy who makes crystal meth. And Harry thinks it's just really good rock candy. So Harry sits Lloyd down and he tells him about his medical issue and that he needs a new kidney and he needs a donor soon, like ASAP. So the two decide to go to Harry's old home, the house he grew up in, and tells his parents about needing a kidney transplant, but he hasn't been back in 20 years or something. But Harry, you know, tells them, and he finds out that he cannot get a kidney from his parents since he realizes that he's adopted and they're incompatible. So this leaves, well, as they leave, as Harry and Lloyd leave the house, Harry's dad gives him a box of mail that's been piling up. And one of the things that was in that box was a postcard from an old girlfriend, I guess, Freda Fletcher. It says that she's pregnant and that she needs Harry to call her because obviously she's pregnant. So he has no idea where to find this girl, Freda, and Harry and Lloyd, you know, go on a mission together to the home of a friend of Freda's named Pete Stainer, and they call him P-Stain. But since Pete Stainer introduced Harry to Freda, they decided to go to his house and see if they can find him and ultimately find her. So Lloyd obnoxiously rings the doorbell repeatedly in the middle of the night, I think it's like 3 a.m., and wakes Pete's parents up, only to find out that Pete had died in a motorcycle accident. And Lloyd he kind of already knew about this, but Lloyd thought that Pete pulled through since the obituary said that he survived by his parents. So he assumed that he was still alive. But Harry then remembers that he met Freda because she worked at the funeral parlor where they did Pete's service. So then he was like, okay. Well, then The two track down Freda at her family's funeral parlor, and the only way the two recognized her was from a smiley tattoo right above her butt, which is now a drooped, frowny face. They showed the old her, or the younger her, and then the current her. It was pretty funny. But Freda then admits that she had a daughter named Fanny that she gave up for adoption, and she immediately regretted it, but it was too late for her to change her mind, so she had to give her up. But she wrote her daughter a letter, only for it to be sent back to her and noted to never contact her again. And then Freda shows Lloyd and Harry a picture of her that she found on the internet through this adoption website, and then Lloyd instantly falls for her, and he's on this mission to go find her. So the guys then embark on this journey to find Harry's daughter, and then they get to the home of Dr. Bernard Pinchlow and his wife Adele, who is the adoptive father of Fanny and his current wife he remarried. So Bernard, I guess Fanny is his daughter, and she now goes by Penny. So Penny turns out to be just as dumb as Harry Lloyd, which is pretty funny. But she, when they get there, she isn't home, because when they arrived, she went to the convention in El Paso, Texas, which is this science convention that Dr. Bernard Pinchlow was supposed to go to, but he is really sick right now, or he was sick at the time, and he couldn't go, so she went on his behalf. And she was going to give a speech on his work, his life's work. But Penny ends up forgetting this package that her father gave her, along with her phone, so they had no way to contact her. So basically, the entire movie is about Harry and Lloyd trying to track down Fanny and see if she would be willing to give Harry a kidney. So I have an interview from Jeff Daniels talking about the movie, so I thought it would be interesting if we would all listen, so let's do it.
It picks up, I'm going to say, 20 years later. We're middle-aged and still that stupid. We've changed physically, but mentally we have not gained a day. Harry still has an IQ of 8. And Lloyd is still Lloyd. Looking back on it, there was an innocence to Harry and Lloyd. It was never mean. It was never violent, unless it was to each other physically. Boom. Then but it was never. There wasn't an edge to it. We weren't going after any particular group of people. We were just stupid. And there's a joy in watching that. It's not for everybody, but everybody's watching it. I was in for the sequel when the Farrellys and Jim said they wanted to do it finally, but they said, we really want to do it. We want this one to be better than the first one, and that's going to take some time. And so they took the time on the script. There were at least 5 drafts, maybe 6, and just trying to live up to ourselves. I mean, when we made the first one, we thought 14-year-old boys would be impressed, but who knew that the demographic would be from 8 to 80? When you're in a movie with Jim Carrey, you follow. Because Jim's mind, his creative genius, it's unique. It's like all those guys, It's like Peter Sellers or Jonathan Winters or Robin or all those guys. It's uniquely their own. Only Jim Carrey would think to do it this way. And so, smartly, I'd made Harry follow Lloyd. Where are we going now? So there's always like a half-second delay on whatever Lloyd was getting me to do next. And And that was just a smart thing to do as an actor, because we want him to lead. We want Jim Carrey going face first into the wall and Harry right behind him. So they've caught that in the second one. The chemistry's there. The friendship's there off camera. We like each other, and that translates when they roll film. Adele is you know, one of the villains in the film, and Laurie Holden from Walking Dead is playing that. And it's fun to watch people come into this, as I did 20 years ago. You know, you hear this less is more, you know, all the time. On Dumb and Dumber, more is more. And we start at more, and then we go higher. So it's fun to watch, you know, actors like Laurie, who've really, you know, dealt in realism and in a naturalistic approach to acting, to bring it up and to do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do anywhere, let alone on camera. And I'm proud of her. She goes some places that I don't think Laurie even knew she was going to go. And again, you know, we're just here to provide opportunities for people to make complete fools of themselves. One of the things the Farrellys did so well was to harken back to the first one. They pulled elements forward that will remind those who loved the first one that we have not abandoned it. We're only expanding on it. Everything the Farrellys bring back, whether it's the Mudcuts van, whether it's Freda Felcher, whether it's Billy with the birds, we top what we did in the first one. They come in and then they... There it is. Oh, and you're, oh God. Okay. And then we top it. That's why I think they've really hit it with the sequel.
So I thought that was super interesting. I always think it's a really interesting just to bring in a perspective from an actor or director to hear, you know, another opinion rather than my own. But basically I was going into this movie kind of disappointed just because it's my last movie that I'm talking about on my show, and I was just kind of bummed that it was a movie that I wasn't super excited about seeing in the first place, because I've seen the first one, I've seen Dumb and Dumber, but it's just one of those movies that I haven't seen in a really long time, and I don't know, I wasn't crazy about it, so I think that's why I haven't seen it or anything. But there's some really good movies coming out, and I'm kind of bummed that I don't get to talk about those movies. But I came out of this movie, Dumb and Dumber, and I was actually super surprised. It was so funny. I definitely recommend you to go see it, because I definitely got a few chuckles in there. And I think it's a really funny movie for all ages. So if you're looking for a movie to go see this weekend or this week, you should go see it. It's funny. And yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty good. So anyways, that was Movie Monday, and I hope you enjoyed it. I am now going to leave you with the cover of Whitney Houston's song "Hope." How Will I Know by Sam Smith. So stay tuned here on Penguin Radio.
Oh, it's you, I know. You're the one I dream of. Looks into my eye. Take me to the clouds above. Oh, I lose control. Can't seem to get enough. When I wake from dream, tell me, is it really love? How will I know if you really love me? I say a prayer with every heartbeat. I fall in love whenever we meet. I'm asking you what you know about these things. how will I know if you're thinking of me? I try to fall, but I'm too shy. Can't see. Falling in love is all bittersweet. This love is strong, why do I feel weak? Oh, wake me, I'm shaking. Wish I had you near me now. Said there's no mistaking. What I feel is really long. How will I know? How will I know? How will I know? How will I know?
Welcome back to Hollywood Soup on radio.dominican.edu. This is Dizzy D, and now I'm going to jump into my next segment, Tunes Talk. You just heard Sam Smith do a cover of Whitney Houston's song, How Will I Know? And if you have forgotten who Sam Smith is, he is an English singer and songwriter who was born in London, and he is only 22 years old, which is crazy to me. But anyways, the first time I heard him do a song was in the song Latch. He was featured in that song, which was released last year, and it's by Disclosure. He was just featured on the song. But he is also commonly recognized from his single Stay With Me. His musical influences are Amy Winehouse, Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, and Beyonce, which is ironic because Whitney Houston did this song, and it's one of his musical influences. So when I first heard Sam Smith do the cover of the song, I think I heard it from a video or something, and I was like, what is this song? And then I found out it was Sam Smith doing it, and it totally makes sense to me because I didn't know who the artist was, and then it was Sam Smith, and I was like, okay, that makes sense. And it was definitely, it definitely sounded like him to me. It was one of his types of songs, one of his, you know, musical stylings, I guess you could say. But then I realized it wasn't one of his songs. It's actually a cover of Whitney Houston's song. So I thought it would be interesting for me to compare the two. So let's listen to a little bit of Whitney Houston's How Will I Know? So there are definitely some obvious differences in both of the songs, but initially you could tell that Whitney Houston's version is very upbeat, fast-paced, and Sam Smith's version is very slow and more mellow. Also, if you listen to the two back-to-back, you'll notice a lot of words are different. So right in the beginning, you notice that the words are different from the very first lyrics. Originally, in Whitney Houston's version, the lyrics of the song are, "There's a boy I know, he's the one I dream of." And in Sam Smith's cover, he changed the words to, "Oh, it's you, I know, you're the one I dream of." So and throughout the whole entire song, Sam Smith refers to you, while Whitney Houston refers to he or him. And then after the first verse, Whitney Houston goes into the lyrics, "How will I know," and repeats it, I think, four times, while Sam Smith doesn't at all. So, and then in the rest of the cover, Sam Smith is pretty similar to Whitney Houston's version, original track, except he does refer to you the whole time. But he does end the song about a minute earlier than the original version. And Whitney Houston even has a repetitive bridge saying, "If he loves me, if he loves me not." And she repeats that a couple times. And he doesn't do that. But then she goes into the chorus and then ends the song. But I really, really like Sam Smith's cover of the song. When I first heard it, it gave me chills. And I think it's really relatable for everyone. I think the whole song is pretty much self-explanatory. Some of my favorite lyrics of the song are some of the ones he changed a little bit. The lyrics are, "Oh, if it's you, I know you're the one I dream of. Looks into my eyes, takes me to the clouds above." And I think those lyrics are so beautifully written. Obviously, they source from Whitney Houston's song. But I just love that Sam Smith did this song vocally. He is ridiculous, and I think the way he changed it really, really, it's really, I like the way he did it, and I think it really proves himself as an artist, very versatile, and I think, I just admire him as an artist. Having said that, obviously Whitney Houston is so talented, and I think her version of the song is really good if you want an upbeat, up-tempo song to dance to more and not just relax and hang out in your room, you know, at night. So I really admire what Sam Smith did with the song, and I think he's just an amazing artist, and I really want to go see him live because all of his songs are so amazing. He's so talented, and I think he's going to go so far in his career. He's only 22 years old, and that's crazy to me, and he's going to be in San Francisco on January 31st, and I think that would be an awesome show to go to, and I hope if I did go, he would perform the song because I think it is so amazing, and yeah, go check out more of Sam Smith. I think he is definitely, definitely going places. So that was the end of my segment, Tunes Talk, and when we come back, I will go into my next segment, The Dirty Deets. But we will be back after this message on radio.dominican.edu.
Hey guys, Harley D here with your 3-minute break. 3 minutes of the wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started. Carnell Alexander at one point owed $60,000 in child support for a child he did not father and knew nothing about. But despite successfully challenging the claim 20 years ago, he still owes about $30,000. The mother who accused him long ago admitted saying that naming a quote-unquote father was necessary to get welfare benefits. A judge thus wiped out Alexander's debt to her. But the state of Michigan still demands that Alexander repay benefits it had paid to the mother. In October, Andrew Davies was ordered by a high court in England not to lie down in public places anymore, unless genuinely stricken by emergency. Previously, he had had a habit of making bogus calls to 911 to get attention. When police confiscated his phone, He began compensating by lying in roads until compassionate passersby called for an ambulance. A Polish doctor says she has been in deep shock since learning that a 91-year-old woman she pronounced dead woke up in the morgue several hours later. The doctor said she was sure the patient was dead after finding, quote, no basic life functions during a morning house call on November 6th. Shortly before midnight, an undertaker who brought in another body noticed the patient was moving inside a bag she had been placed in. Once it was opened, the patient complained of being cold and asked for hot tea, the media said. She was then taken home. More than 6 million students have downloaded the new iPhone app, PhotoMath, to solve Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 problems. Students do this by pointing the camera's phone at a printed equation. The answer and the explanation quickly appear on the screen as a teaching tool, or if students, quote, want to show their work. The Croatia-based developer told the Quartz website in October that it is working on upgrades for higher-level math equations, but no relief is in sight for those chronically pesky word problems. Neighbors in the Mandarin neighborhood of Jacksonville, Florida, complained to the city recently about a resident who scattered hundreds of mothballs around her front yard, even driving over them in her car to crush them open and extend their obnoxious odor. The National Pesticide Information Center warned that the mothballs were hazardous to plants, wildlife, water, and air, but the female resident said she was forced into the tactic in order to prevent neighborhood dogs from defecating in her yard. I'm Harley D. signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
You are still listening to Hollywood Soup on Penguin Radio. This is Dizzy D, and for my next segment for the day is The Dirty Deets. The Dirty Deets is your source of entertainment gossip from all over Hollywood. So let's get started. All right, so you must be living under a rock if you haven't seen pictures of Kim Kardashian on the cover of Paper Magazine. And Paper Magazine kicked off their holiday season with the Winter 2014 cover featuring butt-naked Kim Kardashian covered in oil head to toe. She is wearing a black beaded evening gown and casually emerges to a head-on view of her bare backside. Her hair is up in a funky high bun, and she is also rocking black satin gloves and a pearl choker. And apparently, the internet breaking booty pic wasn't planned at all. It was an impromptu decision made by both Kim and photographer John Paul Godet. Also, she wasn't paid a dime to appear on the cover, and a lot of different celebrities have been chiming in to the whole thing, but her sister Khloe Kardashian said, "You know what? If you got it, flaunt it. I think Kim has an amazing body. She looks incredible. To each their own." And then she goes on to say, "I think Kim looks great, and if you have the confidence to do that, more power to you." And people just, I think, went so hard on her during her pregnancy that I think it's almost that she feels so liberated to show everyone, like, look how bomb I look. And she does. She looks great. So I think, what do I think? I think she looks really good. I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but they're everywhere. Apparently, they broke down the internet, apparently. But I think she looks really good. A lot of people are talking about it, and yep, that's that. I don't know. I think she looks good. Anyways, moving on to my next story for you. Cake Boss's Buddy Velasco has been charged with a DUI and DWAI in New York City last Thursday. The 37-year-old baker was near Penn Station. Officers saw Buddy Velasco driving erratically and swerving between lanes. He had bloodshot, watery eyes, and officers smelled alcohol on his breath. He was unsteady on his feet when he got out of the vehicle, and then he was given a sobriety test and failed it. Buddy Velasco released the statement on Thursday. "To all my family, friends, and fans and supporters, please know that I want to share and explain to you what happened today, and I look forward to doing so at a later date. I appreciate your support and understanding as well as we handle things privately, privately as a family. So I don't know. I think he won an award for something about being a role model or something like that. And I think it kind of surprised everyone that this happened. I don't know if you've seen the show Cake Boss, but he is very family oriented. He has some kids and he loves his wife and his mom. But I think everybody was kind of shocked that this happened. I was shocked that this happened. So, yeah. Okay, moving on. On Saturday, Kendall Jenner was announced as the newest face of Estee Lauder. The prestigious cosmetic company displayed photos of her as well as a video on their website, which contains footage of her as a child talking to her mother, Kris Jenner. She states, "The first time that I wore makeup, I was a little girl and my mom was filming me. And I'm like, Mom, I did my makeup. Do you like it?" And then she goes on to say that, "I feel more like I'm more honored to be a part of something with such amazing names involved. It's something that I didn't really expect to happen so quickly. It's so crazy. I just want to be the best me that I want to be the best me I can be." And she was saying this throughout the video. Then she went on to say, "So having the power that social media does, I think just seeing how many people care about you and seeing how many people like want to watch what you're doing, it just makes you really want to do the best you can do." And I thought it was interesting because I read something that stated that Kendall Jenner has the most Instagram followers than any other Kardashian besides Kim. I think Kim has like 20-something million, and then following her is Kendall. And I think it's really cool that she's doing something like this. I obviously, you know that I love the Kardashians. I love Kourtney. Kourtney is my favorite. I've said that before. Scott, he's one of my favorites. And Kylie and Kendall are definitely obvious. They're not Kardashians per se. They're Jenners, but I think she just turned 19. She is skyrocketing. She's doing so many amazing things. She was in Fashion Week and she did Milan and Paris Fashion Week or whatever. And I think it's really cool what she's doing right now. I think it's really cool. So anyways, moving on. Last Friday, Al Roker completed his 34-hour marathon weather forecast on the Today Show. He almost completely lost his voice by the marathon's end, but he did it. Al Roker had the marathon certified by the Guinness World Records as the longest continuous live weather broadcast. And Al Roker's broadcast beat out the current reigning champion, Norwegian TV personality Ellie Kari Jegadadel. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he held the position with 33 hours of TV time, and it was called the Rokerthon Challenge, and it wasn't all for records and the viewers' entertainment. It was extremely charitable as well. The broadcast ended up raising over $77,000 for the USO. Roker thanked his fans on Twitter and their donations and said, "Thank you to everyone who helped me achieve this goal, but I never thought it would be possible from our fans. God bless you." And he also credited a cold weather pattern over the United States with keeping his broadcast entertaining. But when asked if he would ever try to break this year's record again in 2015, he didn't seem very eager about the idea. He stated, "I've done this once. That's it." So I think that's extreme. I cannot talk on the radio for 33 hours and you guys would probably get sick of me. So I think it's really cool that he was able to do it and he raised money for charity while doing it. So that's really, really cool. Anyways, moving on to my next story, Demi Lovato has been a lifetime advocate for those struggling with eating disorders. And now she's coming forward to urge people to rethink about how people view those who are dealing with illnesses such as anorexia, and bulimia. The singer first began her advocacy, I guess, by giving a shout out to an organization that helped her on Twitter, saying, "Mental illness can be isolating. Thanks to DBS Alliance for showing me the power of peer support." And then she stated, "Having an eating disorder doesn't show strength. Strength is when we're able to overcome your demons after being sick and tired for so long. There's a wide misconception that anorexia and or bulimia is a choice, and you often hear people say things like, why doesn't she just start eating, or even just stop throwing up?" And then she went on to say, "It's the ignorance and lack of education on mental illness that continues to put mental health care on the back burner to Congress, even though this is an epidemic that is sweeping our nation and causing more and more tragedy every day. Starving is not a diet, and throwing up isn't something that only extremely thin men or women do. Eating disorders do not discriminate, neither does any other mental illness. These are deadly diseases that are taking lives daily, so please be cautious. Let's be cautious of the words we use when discussing EDs and other mental illnesses. It's time we start taking mental illness as serious as physical illness." And I believe she, Demi Lovato, suffered from bulimia, maybe anorexia as well. I know bulimia. She did suffer with that a few years back. So I think it's great that she is kind of being a spokesperson to the world about these issues, and especially coming from her since she experienced that as well. I think that she is a really good role model when it comes to these things. I think she's really cool. She's a cool person. I don't know if you've ever heard her talk in an interview or anything, but she's real. She's a real human. Anyways, moving on. Apparently, Nick Jonas wants his fans to have sex to his songs. And he was actually asked in an interview about this statement, and he said, "Every artist's real goal is to have people have sex to your music. I feel like for me, I was inspired by people like Stevie Wonder, Prince, and more modern stuff like The Weeknd and James Blake in that vibe. A lot of sexy." And then when asked about what songs he would like people to have sex to, he stated, "I think it's all up to the audience because everyone has a certain preference. Maybe a song called Push and this other one song called Santa Barbara has nice vibes, and a song called Closer that I did with Mike Posner. Those are a few, and then they can decide what they want from there." And so I saw this, and it was a little interview, it was a little clip I saw, and I was interested. So I decided to go listen to his songs, and so Nick Jonas just released an album, his song Jealous. It's playing on the radio right now, nonstop. So I'm sure you've heard that song, but he has a couple new songs, and I've listened to them, and I think they're really, really good. So you should go check out Nick Jonas if you have the time. But I don't know if I agree with his statement. All right, moving on. Beyoncé's sister Solange Knowles tied the knot with her longtime love Alan Ferguson yesterday in a New Orleans church in front of about 100 close friends and family. Before the wedding, Solange and Alan were spotting riding bicycles together, and the pre-wedding festivities kicked off on Friday night, and Solange's son, 10-year-old son, Jules, from her previous marriage with Daniel Smith, played a big part in the couple's special day as well, and there was actually a really cute dance performance with Solange and Jules dancing to the song No Flex Zone. It's super cute. You should check it out. There's a video. You should check it out. It's super cute. But it has also been stated that Solange Knowles was seen leaving the final venue of the evening with hives all across her face and neck. And there's a picture, and she was breaking out in hives, let me tell you. But as you know, I love Beyonce, and I mean, I kind of have to support Solange as well because it's a sister. So, congratulations to them, and I hope they have a happy life together. All right, moving on. It looks like another couple's news. It looks like Miley Cyrus and Patrick Schwarzenegger have been spending a lot of time with each other, especially over this weekend. On Thursday night, the two went to the University of Southern California. They went to a football game there because I think Patrick Schwarzenegger attends USC, but I could be wrong. But then the following night on Friday, they went to Hollywood in the evening. And then, but Miley Cyrus and Patrick Schwarzenegger haven't publicly declared their relationship status, but they've been getting pretty close lately. There's a few pictures of them making out and such. But when what started as a casual friendship appears to be turning into something so much more, and this would mark her first significant relationship for Miley Cyrus since splitting from Liam Hemsworth. I always think his name's Hemsworth, but it's Hemsworth. And they ended their engagement in 2013, September 16th, 2013, after almost 4 years together. And at first I was like, who's Patrick? I was trying to pronounce his name. I was and I was like, oh wait, Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it's his son. Is that weird? Arnold Schwarzenegger, Patrick Schwarzenegger? So weird. And Miley Cyrus, they're going to get together. They're going to be, I think I can see them being together for a long time because, I mean, I think Miley was with one guy, but it wasn't really anything. But I guess she is really infatuated with him, and I love Miley Cyrus. You know I love Miley Cyrus, so I'm really, really happy for her, and I hope this goes... it flies away. It flies north and it flies to happy places. Yep. All right, so that was my segment, The Dirty Deets. When we come back, I have a special surprise for you to end my last show. So stay tuned here on Penguin Radio.
Hey guys, Harley D here with your 3 minute break. 3 minutes of the wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started. A shocked student was left furious after discovering her Facebook photos had been stolen and used on a sex website. 20-year-old Grace Marr found that three of her images were used as a promotional offering, Hot Horny Singles. Grace, an English language undergraduate at Aston University in England, discovered after a friend of her mother's contacted her after seeing the images while surfing the internet. If you're gonna commit a crime, at least have the cojones to own up to it. 26-year-old Joseph Wance placed a $107 order for pizza, breadsticks, and soda for what he said was a party last Tuesday night. The delivery man arrived at 10:30 p.m. and rightfully became suspicious because he saw no cars or sign of a celebration. Wance allegedly put a BB gun to the head of the Pizza Hut worker and stole all the food and cash he carried. The suspect and another person later told police they witnessed the robbery and that Wance's cousin was the gun-toting culprit. On Wednesday, Palm Beach County Sheriff's deputies responded to a disturbance at Wance's residence. Police took Wance in for questioning, and the pizza delivery man identified Wance as the culprit in the previous night's robbery. According to a police report, Wentz said he blamed his cousin for the robbery because the two looked alike and he wasn't the only one going down for this. He now faces charges including robbery with a firearm and aggravated assault with a firearm. Police in Florida encountered a man wearing a jacket and a bra and riding a bicycle in front of a bank and prevented customers from using the ATM. Fort Pierce police asked Gregory Hunden to empty his pockets, and though it got him into trouble, the 33-year-old allegedly agreed. Out of his pants came a pair of women's undergarments, a crack pipe, two needles for drug use, a pill bottle, and brass wool, according to the Offbeat, which recently obtained the November 3rd arrest affidavit. Records from the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office says Hendon faces charges of possession for drug equipment and resisting an officer without violation. Bond was set at $15,500. 29-year-old Jamie Brown stole a fish tank from a hardware store in Leeds, England in August and made a run for it, but soon after had to be rescued by police and emergency personnel after he stopped to urinate in a bush and that bush had a wasp's nest in it. I'm Harley D signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
You are still listening to Penguin Radio. This is Dizzy D. And to end today, in honor of my last show, I thought I'd do something a little fun. For the last few minutes of me hosting my last show, it's going to be my first annual Dizzy Awards. Thank you, I know. So I have come up with a list of awards nominees and winners that I think have been deserving of their very own bowl of soup in honor of my show, Hollywood Soup. So I've picked out movies and songs that I've talked about throughout the semester, and I thought I would give them some recognition and some acknowledgments of what I thought was the best out of the whole semester. So let's get started. So the first award I have up is the award for Best Actor in a Leading Role. The nominees are Dylan O'Brien in The Maze Runner, Ben Affleck in Gone Girl, Javier Pereira in Stockholm, James Marsden in The Best of Me, and Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar. And the bowl of soup goes to, drumroll please, Dylan O'Brien in The Maze Runner. And this was a tough one for me to make the final call for, because it was really between Dylan O'Brien in The Maze Runner and Ben Affleck in Gone Girl. In Gone Girl, I thought Ben Affleck was so amazing. I think he's amazing in everything. But Gone Girl was such a great movie, and so was The Maze Runner. But I think for me, Dylan O'Brien, he's young. He's an upcoming actor. I think he is still in Teen Wolf. I'm not really into Teen Wolf that much. I tried to get into it. Maybe I'll get into it a little bit later. But he is just so, he was so good, and it was a really good movie. So I decided to hand it off to him because I thought he did an awesome job in The Maze Runner. If you haven't seen The Maze Runner, go see it. It's awesome. So definitely go see that. So the next award I have is for Best Actress in a Leading Role. And the nominees are Rosamund Pike in Gone Girl, Aura Garrido in Stockholm, Michelle Monaghan in The Best of Me, and Reese Witherspoon in The Good Lie. And the bowl of soup goes to Rosamund Pike in Gone Girl. Okay, Gone Girl. Well, Rosamund Pike in Gone Girl was so good. I've never seen her in a movie before, and just the role she played in Gone Girl was so good. She played it so well. I was kind of bowing to her because the way she thought, well, obviously it's based off a book, but just how she played it was so good. I wanted to sympathize with her, but then I was like, oh my God, she's crazy. It was just so good. I thought she did awesome in it. Also, honorable mention, I guess, was Reese Witherspoon in The Good Lie. She was so awesome. I thought that movie was so good. Really heartfelt movie. And I thought Reese Witherspoon, she did awesome in The Good Lie. So if you haven't seen Gone Girl, like I said, I said The Best of Me. If you haven't seen Gone Girl or The Good Lie, you should go see both of those movies. Awesome, awesome movies. So the next award I have is Best Actor in a Supporting Role. And I only have two nominees, so it was kind of a tough competition. But the nominees are Neil Patrick Harris in Gone Girl and Michael Caine in Interstellar. And the bowl of soup goes to Neil Patrick Harris in Gone Girl. And why I chose Neil Patrick Harris in Gone Girl is because I actually just finished watching the last season of How I Met Your Mother. And I don't know if any of you have seen How I Met Your Mother, but it was 9 seasons, and it's an awesome show. The episodes are only, if you watch it on Netflix, the episodes are only 20 minutes. It's really, it takes, you get through them quick and stuff, but Neil Patrick Harris's role in How I Met Your Mother was completely 360 degree turn from what he played in Gone Girl. Totally different role. In How I Met Your Mother, he's kind of the player, the guy who sleeps with literally a million different girls. And in Gone Girl, he's infatuated with one girl and literally obsessed with her. And I thought it was just really cool to see both sides of him. I think he's such a versatile actor. And I thought his role, he played a smaller role in Gone Girl, but I thought he did an absolutely amazing job. So that is why I picked him for that. So the next role is the award for Best Actress in a Supporting Role. And like in the last award, there's only two nominees, and this one was hard too. So the nominees are Melissa McCarthy in St. Vincent and Anne Hathaway in Interstellar. And the bowl of soup goes to Melissa McCarthy in St. Vincent. I'm just used to saying St. Vincent's. But St. Vincent. So kind of like the reason before being, I'm always used to seeing Melissa McCarthy playing kind of, let's just say, in Bridesmaids, how she's kind of, I don't know how to describe her. She's just a loony boon. And in St. Vincent, she's a mother. She has that motherly instinct, and she's just awesome in St. Vincent. She's totally different to any other role she's played, or at least I've seen her play before. And I thought it was an awesome movie. I think she did a great job. Anne Hathaway is obviously amazing in everything. I haven't seen a movie that she's not good in. I was thinking about it the other day. The first time I saw Anne Hathaway was in The Princess Diaries. And that seems so long ago. That was one of my, not childhood, I guess, but I definitely loved that movie. I still love that movie. It's an awesome movie, The Princess Diaries. Such an awesome movie. It was in San Francisco. I don't know if they filmed in San Francisco or it was just based in San Francisco, but I just love her in that. And it was definitely hard. I had to ask some outside sources what they thought was better, or who they thought was better. And Melissa McCarthy was chosen. So that was that. So the next award is for the best director of the semester. And the nominees are Christopher Nolan in Interstellar, Wes Ball in The Maze Runner, David Fincher in Gone Girl, Michael Hoffman in The Best of Me, and Theodore Melfi in St. Vincent's. All right, and the bowl of soup goes to Christopher Nolan for Interstellar. And why I chose Christopher Nolan is the movie was just amazingly done. It was very similar to Interception, right? That's the name of the movie. At the end, it had some really, really cool things. I don't want to spoil it, but the movie was really good, really well directed. And honestly, it was between Interstellar, The Maze Runner, and Gone Girl for me. I mean, St. Vincent's was good too. Theodore Melfi is a new director, an upcoming director, but I thought all the movies that were nominated, or all the directors that were nominated, were really nominated. I feel like I'm hosting the Academy Awards or something, but I think they were all, it was definitely a tough competition. I've seen a lot of good movies this semester, let me tell you, but the award for Best Director goes to Christopher Nolan. So the next award is for Best Picture of the Semester. This is a big one. So the nominees are for The Maze Runner, Gone Girl, Stockholm, The Best of Me, St. Vincent, Interstellar, and The Good Lie. And the bowl of soup goes to Gone Girl. Gone Girl is such an awesome movie. Okay, a lot of people either think it's really good or really bad. I thought it was so, so good. I didn't read the book, and I think people who read the book were kind of disappointed. But if you haven't read the book, you should definitely go see it. But I thought it was such a great movie. All these movies, I think you should go see. The Maze Runner is so good. Gone Girl, obviously, I just said that. Stockholm, I don't know how you could see it because it was an international film. I saw it at the Mill Valley Film Festival. The Best of Me, I was kind of disappointed, but it's still good. St. Vincent, so good. Interstellar, kind of confusing. I kind of need to see it again because I feel like I would just understand it more if I went to go see it. And The Good Lie, such a good heartwarming movie. But Gone Girl, it just made me think. It made me, I was confused, but and I would pick sides, and then it made me more confused because it was just amazing. I loved that movie, and I can't wait to see it again. All right, so the next award is for Best New Artist / Band. And the nominees are Sam Hunt, Sam Smith, 5 Seconds of Summer, and Jana Kramer. And the bowl of soup goes to, obviously, Sam Smith, because I love him, and he's so good. He's going to go so far in his career. I can just see it now, and he's only 22 years old, and he's starting his career off right, let me tell you that. So I am so excited for what is in store for him, and I really want to go see his concert really badly. So that's that. Anyways, moving on. The next award is for Best Pop Duo / Group Performance. And there's only really one nominee and one winner. And it's for Bang Bang by Jessie J, Ariana Grande, and Nicki Minaj. Because I love that song. I love Ariana Grande. You know that. And they win. Because that was the only really duo, trio, group performance I had. I've talked about, so I just gave that to them. They can have a bowl of soup. All right. The next award is for Best Song of the Semester, and the nominees are Chandelier by Sia, I'm Not the Only One by Sam Smith, Bang Bang by Jessie J, Ariana Grande, and Nicki Minaj, Amnesia by 5 Seconds of Summer, Trumpets by Jason Derulo, and Love Me Harder by Ariana Grande. And the bowl of soup goes to, drum roll please, Bang Bang by Jessie J, Ariana Grande, and Nicki Minaj. And the reason I chose this to be the best song of the semester is because it's probably the song that I've listened to the most, because out of all the songs, I've definitely listened to this. I've probably listened to the song a million times, and I'm going to see Ariana Grande on tour in April, and I'm so excited because I love her, and she's amazing. All right, and the last award is for Best Music Video of the Semester, and the nominees are I'm Not the Only One by Sam Smith, Amnesia by 5 Seconds of Summer, Chandelier by Sia, and Trumpets by Jason Derulo. And the bowl of soup goes to Chandelier by Sia. This was the first, so weird, the first song I reviewed and talked about on my show. Seems so long ago, but I love this music video so much. If you haven't seen it, go see it right now. Go watch it. Chandelier by Sia. Such an amazing song. Such an amazing music video. And I definitely picked a good song to talk about on my first show. So I'm just going to leave it at that. So this is so weird. That was the end of my very last show, Hollywood Soup. And I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening to me. I'm Dizzy D. Thank you for listening for all the 10 weeks I've done my show here on Penguin Radio. I'm really disappointed that I'm not taking radio next semester. I wanted to, but I don't need to, I guess, and it just doesn't fit with my schedule. It's definitely tiring doing this, but I love doing it, and I felt like I've grown a lot. I've had so much fun doing this, and it's an amazing opportunity, and thank you so much for listening and supporting me. I really, really appreciate it. So thank you. Thank you again for listening. Happy finals. Finals week is coming up. It is around the corner. It'll be here before you know it. And happy holidays, because I'm not going to have another show before the holidays come right along. So thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your Monday. With her lips, now she's feeling so low since she